Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's a happy day. My heart feels like an alligator.
Howie Carr, Boston Herald columnist and radio hitman.
The public will be truly amazed by that.
Howie is sort of an insidious force in this area.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
It is a special pleasure for me to introduce
Howie Carr.
I am Tom Shattuck in for Howie Carr. How are you doing? Happy Monday. The number is 844-500-4242. Howie is back tomorrow, holding down the fort tonight as it begins raining and Keir Starmer ends his reign as the UK Prime Minister. What an absolute clambake that guy was. When's the UK going to have a real Prime Minister again? It's been a while. Boris Johnson had promised for about 10 minutes before he went sideways because COVID just brought the worst out in people. But man, what a mess. All of these Eurotrash, progressive, post-Marxist dandies, they got to go, man. That is just absolutely disgusting. So gross. So gross. It's like we all have TV. We all have social media. We all see what's changed about London. We see what's changed about Paris. We see that some of these great European cities have been overrun with new mainers, and it's not great, okay? It's not great. Oh, that was just a shame. Let's get back to it here. I will say one thing, and I know I'm late on this, but I've needed to tell as many of the people as I can. I didn't mind being overrun by these Scotsmen. I thought they were fantastic. And just like a natural surprise to have, 40,000 people pour into Boston, Massachusetts, who love America. You never see that. It just doesn't happen anymore. And it was so great to see. And these guys were drunk and partying and having a great time. And they just love the city. It was so good to see. Hopefully they're coming back. If they come back, I don't care if I'm old and irrelevant. Jared, I'm going out and I'm getting drunk with these people. And I don't care. I want to have fun. I had so much FOMO. And so I was so just jealous of all the excitement and entertainment. And of course, now the natural thing, and you won't be shocked to hear this, is that the media reports came out immediately saying how racist it was that Boston embraced. Boston itself, the academics and modern progressives will tell you Boston is the most racist city that there ever was in the history of all civilization. They love saying that. It's all the cities that are full of progressives in academia who always paint themselves as having, the most racist single court. The abolition movement in many ways hatched in Boston with the Bird Club and other things in Boston. So it's obviously groundless. But the fact that because Boston embraced all these Scots, that's racist because they didn't embrace Haitians the same way. I don't know how many Haitians hit the mainland for this. I don't know if they tend to go out into the bars and deplete them of all the beers like the Scots did. But just leave a good thing alone. Progressives, just leave a good thing alone. They ruin everything, and I'm sick of it. I was up in Maine. By the way, once again, my name is Tom Shattuck. I work for the Maine Wire. We'll check in with those guys just for a little quick platinum hit in the fourth hour. And I was up in Maine this weekend, dropping my son off to a camp. Goes there for a few weeks every year. It's a great camp. It's called Slavinsky Camp. They should advertise on the Howie Carr Show because it's right on brand. And the camp makes me happy. And when I was up in Maine, I was looking around. And I went to Poland, Maine, and I just did this 360 and looked around. And I thought, this is gorgeous here. This beautiful landscape, beautiful Sebago Lake, the wilderness, the open fields. That this is just beautiful. And then you think, what's the only thing wrong with Maine? It's the same thing wrong with Massachusetts. It's the politicians. That's it. These places would be great to live be great to live there if it weren't for the politicians. Howie talked last Friday, you know, about, you know, the SJC just torpedoing a referendum question that would have rolled back the income tax, like saved people some tax money. How gross is that? That doesn't happen in a normal place. Maine did the same thing, by the way, with protecting girls' sports, where they decided that those signatures were invalid, and they wiped it right off the ballot. And these blue states, they know it. And it's just totally gross, which is another reason why progressives had a big problem with the tartans, with the drunken Scotsmen, because they were masculine. They were doing masculine things, somehow wearing skirts while doing it, but still being more masculine than, everyday progressives. And the other thing that happened with all these Scotsmen coming to Boston, and if you aren't from Boston, you probably saw news accounts of it anyway. These people were just all over the place. They put cones on all the statues. Any other time with any other bunch of people, that would be considered kind of vandalism to put a traffic cone on George Washington's head. No, these people were so disarming and so lovely and had such a good spirit about them that people said, yeah, we accept anything these people do.
Did they find a place to put a traffic cone on the MLK Embrace statue? I didn't see that one on social media anywhere.
Well, thankfully, that statue is just two severed arms, so there's no head anywhere to put one whatsoever. There's another thing. Actually, that's a great point. There's progressivism at work, brutalism at work. You know, Howie talked Friday about working at City Hall, which is a product of the brutalism rebirth of the 1960s. We were reimagining architecture. So we made City Hall and that horrible car park thing that was on New Chardon Street or something. I think it's gone now. But Boston City Hall is a horrific-looking thing. I actually went, when I worked for the Herald, I actually got a key to our office, the Herald's office there, the bureau, as it were, which is basically just a closet made of cinder blocks, because that's what City Hall is. And I brought in couches, and I spruced the place up, and I brought in a cooler, and Sam Adams loaded us with beer, and I thought, we're going to make this place the way to live. And you could look down in City Hall Plaza and see all the stuff going on. No matter what I did to it, it was always uncomfortable in there. It's just terrible. But that's brutalism. That's what they wanted to be. You don't deserve to be comfortable. Be uncomfortable. We're going to ruin your statue. We're going to ruin your stupid thing. We're going to make an Obama presidential library that is in itself vandalism. And you're going to pretend to like it. And we're going to make jokes about a tan suit controversy that never happened. But the thing that they hated most about the tartan takeover, the left, is that it was all natural. And it was awesome because the left had no hand in it. They couldn't make it brutalized. They couldn't ruin it. They were too late to overregulate it. It just became awesome on its own, autonomously. Because these maniacs do this all over Europe. And they know how to throw a party in the streets. And Boston didn't know what to do. And the police were utterly charmed. The police were part of half the videos. And it was just a really good thing. And the left hates that. They absolutely hate that. And here's another thing. Not to go anywhere sensitive, but if you get 40,000 progressives in the streets, 40,000 congregates who are on the left, do you think that stuff ain't getting broken, lit on fire? Turned over, toppled. You think people aren't getting stabbed? No. The left, when they get hit the streets, stuff breaks and people are terrorized. That is the truth. And I think that's another thing that just made, let's say, Black Lives Matter look pretty bad that we couldn't, either the tartans managed to stay for 3 weeks clean after themselves and not burn anything down. But it was great. I know I'm late talking about it, but they may be coming back. If they're coming back, we're going on the road. Me, Jared, Matt, Grace, beer's on me, and we are hitting the town, baby, because I want to be part of this energy. Positive energy. Who knew so many people in Boston suddenly would like the United States? And if you heard some of the audio, I think that you guys had it Friday, some of the audio, like the young woman who said when she landed here, a Scottish woman, she was worried that ICE would grab her because the American media and the world media just lies. Lies. And they thought ICE was going to come and get them because ICE is brown shirts. Total, total lies. But gross. And yeah, and you think about that. What a great city this can be. And also, here's another thing. Boston for the 250. So we're not going to go do anything in Washington, D.C. to be part of all those other events because Maura Healey doesn't like Donald Trump. So we don't get to play. So we're going home. How petty can you be? Maine's doing the same thing, of course, because all these progressive states follow each other. What are you there for? What is your reason to be, government? Other than in Maine, if you go to Lewiston, Maine, to a health clinic, you can get 100 syringes at a time. That's what government does up there. And it's the same in Massachusetts, obviously. Not even say fixing problems. Or into causing problems. They resent you. They resent you. They like things to be brutalized, which is why in Chicago you've had, you know, shooting after shooting after shooting. There is, we'll go to cut four here. Just another normal weekend. In a blue state, this is a fine weekend.
This was supposed to be a joyous time. Neighbors say many people had gathered to celebrate Juneteenth when things took a violent turn. Surveillance video capturing what appears to be a barrage of gunfire. Shortly after, you see people running for cover. Chicago police were called to 95th and Princeton after a mass shooting around 11 Friday night in the city's Princeton Park neighborhood. At least 13 people were injured.
244 West 95th Street. I need crowd control.
Chicago police say a red SUV pulled up to a large crowd. Investigators say two suspects began shooting from inside the car before taking off.
There's approximately 25 shell casings, both rifle and pistol rounds, from 243 West 95th all the way to the end of the block on Princeton.
The victims' ages range from 17 to 47 years old and were taken to different hospitals. A 26-year-old man was last listed in critical condition. The majority of the victims are expected to recover from their injuries.
All of a sudden, you hear this loud, bah, 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 bah. I can hear the rapid fire of gunfire. And I said, oh no, can't be.
Can't be.
And next thing I know, you hear the sirens.
Michael Blount was home at the time of the shooting. He says he's disappointed it happened at a time when people were looking to celebrate the holiday.
It was a shame that it happened on Juneteenth. That's what it's supposed to be about, celebration, not what just happened.
They didn't get the memo, Jared. They didn't get the memo that the shootings were off limits on Juneteenth, which is another brutalized thing, by the way, that Juneteenth is even some kind of holiday that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Let's say Jared's birthday is January 8th of 1980. For him to celebrate it January 11th is an odd thing. Juneteenth is another absurdity, but you have to have Juneteenth. We have to force this weird Texas holiday over the rest of the country because we needed to do a George Floyd thing because it's some kind of reparations, and it's in the legislation, as a matter of fact. It says George Floyd's name right there. It's total nonsense. But they want to live in this distorted world where they brutalize everything, they scare away a good time, and they provide shootings every weekend, and then claim it's Richard Nixon's fault, which we'll get back to when we get back from the break. It never gets old with these people. Let's go to the text very quickly. 201 says, another Maine guy, and wait, another Maine gay guy fill in. But bing bong bye. I am not gay or a Maine guy. As a matter of fact, I will have you know, I am a tried and true Winchester boy from 1973, and I currently live in around the Newburyport area. So I'm a Bay Stater. I get enough crap from Mainers for not being from there. Before that, I got enough crap from Connecticut people for not being from there. I'm a masshole, all right? That I am. I can tell you that. All right, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. That is the number. My name is Tom Shattuck. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Follow Howie on Instagram.
Yeah, hi, I'm a big influencer.
Howie Carr Radio Network.
Go ahead and check it out. Recipe in bio.
Thank you.
Howie Carr is back.
All right. A little rainy. That's fine. I'll take the rain. I'll take the rain. The rain last night was perfect. Or 2 nights ago was perfect because it was nice and wet last night and I burned a whole bunch of stuff. I've got a burn barrel and I've got where I live, it never stops. Never stops with the bittersweet and all these weeds and I just can't win. So I have to burn everything. If I had a flamethrower, that would be perfect. All right, Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarShow.com, is do you care what the reflecting pool looks like? Yes or no?
I'm going to say, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. By the way, today's poll question is brought to you by Eagle Rivet Roofing. My friends at Eagle Rivet saved my life. Ask me about it sometime. Eagle Rivet Roofing delivers the strength, precision, and craftsmanship you can rely on. Serving all of New England and New York, schedule a complimentary roof inspection today at EagleRivetRoofing.com. Okay, so do we care about the color of the reflecting pool? What are the results?
80% of the audience says yes, they do care what it looks like.
Oh, that's interesting because I am so amused by the visage of grown adult men, anchor men, putting their arms in the water in Washington, D.C., showing us how concerning this is. And they found the duck, too, the dead duck, which is even better. They found a duck cadaver. And they said, uh-oh, now a life has been lost, finally. Donald Trump had to tamper with the reflecting pool. There are some things that the left has coming to them. And stories like this that drive them crazy, bring it on. I'll take it all day long. I don't. It doesn't really bother me. I don't like the idea of giving somebody $20 million for a job that sucks. But I more like them being upset about it. So I'll take it. I'll take it. By the way, before the break, we played a news cut of just the violence in Chicago, you know, where a bunch of people were shot, which is what happens in Chicago because that's what they voted for. But remember what Mayor Brandon Johnson said? I think this is from last year. This is cut one. This is how you know it ain't going to get fixed.
So, yeah, it is personal. Black death has been unfortunately accepted in this country for a very long time. We had a chance 60 years ago to get at the root causes, and people mocked President Johnson. And we ended up with Richard Nixon. I'm going to work hard every day to transform this city. That's what it takes to build a better, stronger, safer Chicago. I need everybody to step up.
You can blame a lot of things on Tricky Dick, but Chicago violence ain't one of them. I would blame Lyndon Johnson first and foremost. Stay with us. My name is Tom Shattuck. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
You know, I was listening to Grace earlier, and she was talking about the left has a big problem because, you know, it's obviously an off year for Trump. Usually in these years, that it's the party in opposition does really well, and they'll probably get the House, probably maybe even get the Senate. Who knows? We'll see. But Americans hate Democrats; they really do, and I love that. I think that is so. Absolutely, like, so important that they hate Democrats. And, like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Can you stop for 5 seconds with all the... Maine just had a bunch of these pride rallies. They're twerking and stuff around kids and simulating sex around kids. It's like, what is it about you people that don't get that this hits people's gag reflexes and not the way that a lot of these parade participants would want it to? This is, This is, like, gross stuff. Like, leave the kids alone. And with the Title IX stuff, why do you think it's... So you're okay with the idea that in volleyball you spike the ball and wreck some pretty girl's face? Like, you're supposed to... That's supposed to make you feel bad. You know, you should feel odd. But no, it is mainstream for Democrats to be all for that. To be all for that. Remember the school, how he talked about it a couple of years ago in Vermont? Where a dude just started going in the girls' locker room and was watching naked 16-year-old girls. Because when you're a 16-year-old boy, that's awesome. He went in there and just watched him. And the girl said, we've got a problem with this. The guy is leering at us and is getting visibly excited, and we can tell, and we don't like this. And the school said, okay, then you guys need to find somewhere else to change. And Democrats come to you and say, oh, yeah, what do you mean? That's fine. What do you mean? That's normal. But it ain't normal, and that's why people hate Democrats. It's not normal. You could say whatever you want about Trump and the orange man stuff and gold toilets and taco bowls and cheeseburgers and his Coke machine. He ain't putting boys in girls' locker rooms. That's not what he's doing. He's not letting boys make pretend that they're girls and then invade girls' spaces. That's not him. He can be wacky, but he's not insane. But the left, the mainstream now, they are insane. Austin Metcalf gets stabbed, bleeds out. His brother holds him as he bleeds out and dies. And what does the left say? Oh, the Carmelo Anthony should have stabbed the brother too. And they say this, like on MS Now, they say this. Yeah, no, absolutely. He felt threatened. And real Americans see this and they say, wait a second. Real Americans, by the way, white, black, whatever, see this and they say, that's not right. What a twisted and distorted way to think. What a violent way to think. That's not right. And that's why they hate Democrats. And it's the same thing with Graham Platner in Maine. Guy doesn't have anything nice to say about anybody. Chris Kyle, you know, was a murderer. Calls this other guy Ted Daniel, a loser, and whatever, a guy who got shot, got a Purple Heart. Tells women, you know, if you don't want to get raped, stop getting drunk. By the way, shouldn't somebody, some feminist in Maine, get up and say, by the way, Graham, if they're drunk, it's still not okay to rape them. Just so you know, just so the lines are drawn here. But no. Gets a pass for everything. You know, his porta potty stuff is weird. The, you know, imprisoning Lindsay Fifield when he's dating her. She wants to go home. He says, no, you need to calm down. You know, pushes her down into the room on the bed, locks the room. Let me tell you something. Some of us have been in a few relationships. Women don't generally like to be told to calm down. And generally, if you lock them in a room, that's no bueno. But for him, it was just normal. That's the world that these people want. The left wants that. Of course people hate you. You guys are weird. Get away from us. Get your stupid groomery stuff away from us. You're allowing people to come into this country illegally with massive rap sheets and come in and rape and murder. And we say, hey, what are you doing here? You say, they're our neighbors. These are our neighbors. Native-born Americans are more likely to commit crimes. Shut up. What are you? That's why people hate you. But they just keep, they've lost it. Now, especially in the time of Trump, it doesn't matter. It's whatever is against Trump matters. If you were to tell any Democrat 12 years ago, well, they wouldn't recognize themselves from 12 years ago. But certainly if you were to say that 12 years ago, that your nominee for Senate was going to be a weird Reddit-using, hard-drinking, promiscuous, wife-cheating guy with a Nazi tattoo, Democrats would say, no, we wouldn't do that. There was a time when a Nazi tattoo would have been enough. But it's not. They're moored to nothing now. Democrats are just flowing through the air. They've got no principles at all, and they don't know who to be. They don't know what to be. And it's their own fault. Their own fault for doing this. Let me get back to the text. Let's see. 603 says, Great Britain goes through PMs quicker than Leonardo DiCaprio goes through girlfriends. Yeah, you know, there's something to be said for Leo's lifestyle, I will say. That is not my life whatsoever. I have five kids, and I'm pretty much just dead inside. But I think Leo lives his best life. And if you look like Leo, are you... I don't know. I don't know. I have not... I can tell you one thing, that in 1997, I was close friends with a guy who looked exactly like DiCaprio, and the 90s were good to him. I'll say that. That was a good time to look like DiCaprio when Titanic came out. Let's see. 201 says, remember, every single city in the USA is racist. Get with the program. Yes, that's what it has to be. Or it has to be always racist, and John Henry was always ashamed that Yaki Way looked like that, because Tom Yaki was one of the just about every other team owners who didn't draft Jackie Robinson, that so he had to rename the street. Even though Tom Yaki has done incredible things and the Yakis were very charitable, we're playing these stupid games. The left feels very good, especially elites, feel really good when they call themselves, but mostly you, racist. You see, I've did my penance. You saw the Obama library opening there with I forgot her name, whatever.
Valerie Jarrett.
Valerie Jarrett, yeah, doing the shout out. What is it called? Land acknowledgement. Doing the land acknowledgement. It's like, yeah, we are going to acknowledge this is stolen land from the Imchucks and whatever it is. But we still, bought the land, and we still cleared the land, flattened the land, dynamited the land, and built this thing anyway. So all you have to do is give the land acknowledgement, and you're allowed to take it and build on it? Wow. Tom says, 603 says, Tom says he'd hang with the Scots, but will he eat haggis? I'm not quite sure what haggis is. I know Healy made a joke about it.
So haggis is sheep stomach. With usually meat and barley or some type of other wheatish grains in it.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't sound terrible.
Is it different than blood sausage? What is that?
I don't exactly know what blood sausage is, but haggis is along those lines. But I think haggis is drier. Like blood sausage is like black and
wet. Okay,
haggis tends to be almost like a sausage.
Okay, well,
but just a giant sausage.
I'm a tripe guy, so I might give it a shot. So tripe is stomach lining of a cow, and the Italians cook it very well, and I do like that. God bless the tripe places. Let's hope they stay in business. 413 says, these same phones so concerned about the dead bleep in the reflecting pool, never say a thing about the birds killed by their worthless wind turbines. Pathetic Limerick guy. It's funny you say that, because Trump does bring that up all the time, that these turbines are waxing the birds. I don't like that. I'm a bird guy now. I got one of those bird feeders now that's got the camera on it. I love them. I love these birds. A lot of these birds come down from South America. These little guys fly up here, these beautiful colored birds, and it's I love them. I'm currently trying to whack one out. The squirrel is eating all my bird feed. If you have a good way to wax my squirrels or dispatch of them some other way, please let me know. I do have one of those safe traps, but it's only caught chipmunks, which are also my enemy. But if you know any squirrel techniques on how to wax those guys, or send them packing, I would like that. Because all the humane things like peppermint, get out of here with that. Please let me know. Text Howie to 617-213-1066. 617-213-1066. All right. When we get back, we're going to have a little more audio here from the genius, the new David Axelrod, the genius behind Grand Platter and Mom Donnie and some other whack jobs. It's not great, but this is the kind of leadership that if you're a conservative, you want this to happen. You want guys like this to be on the ascent. 844-500-4242. That is the number, 844-500-4242. My name is Tom Shattuck. This is The Howie Carr Show.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
You look like a woman, you stupid haggis.
Haggis? What is haggis?
Sheep stomach stuffed with meat and barley.
And what do you do with it?
You eat it. How revolting.
Oh, come on. There's no way Connery didn't love haggis. Come on. Yeah, if it's anything like tripe, I'll give it a shot. Oh, do we want to talk about James Tallarico? I don't even want to. Do we have to?
Ugh. What did he say now?
And that's not even what he said. This is from the New York Post. I feel like I've gotten a plate of bad haggis. New York Post, the trans queer Latinx theologian who continues to inspire James Tallarico. Texas Democratic Senate hopeful James Tallarico. You guys know who Tallarico is. He's, how do you say this? He's a Tim Walzian, I would say. He's a man of the cloth. He, to me, comes off as a little bit milquetoast. I don't know how else to describe him. I would speculate perhaps this is a favorite month of his. Texas Democrat Senate hopeful James Tallarico once lavished praise on a self-described trans queer Latinx activist theologian. Oh, I'm already mad that those words are together. As a major source of inspiration for his left-wing philosophy, when you started following me on Twitter, I couldn't contain my inner fanboy because I read your book last year and it continues to inspire me, and y'all's work continues to inspire me, the state lawmaker told Roberto Henderson Dash Espinoza during a March 2021 podcast appearance. I told you I was a boring, straight, cis white man, and I added Presbyterian to spice it up, Tallarico added. Okay. Okay. Jared, did I ever tell you about my other friend, Jared, from the 90s?
I don't know that you did.
I had a friend, Jared, from the 90s. When I used to work at hotels. And Jared was very obviously a gay man. To all of us. He was he was our friend, so we didn't care. Whatever. But Jared was not openly a... This has nothing to do with Tallarico, because this obviously wouldn't apply to him. But Jared was not openly gay. Which is fine with us. You know, whatever he wanted to do. He still is a great guy. But we would sometimes like wish that he felt comfortable enough just to come out, because he was one of my friends. He wouldn't let my friend go out if he looked a certain way. He would say, "You're not going out like this. We're changing you. You come to my house right now. We're coming in." Okay, Jared, just make the move here, man. It's fine. We don't care. We like you. You're our pal. Whatever. So then we were talking about cocktails. In bars that we liked in Boston. So, like, we used to like the Red Hat and the Hub Pub or the Beantown Pub or whatever it was, you know, dive bars. Or... And Jared said, I love the Armani Cafe. I don't know if that's there still, but it used to be on Newbury Street, as in Giorgio Armani. He said, I love the Armani Cafe because Todd makes the best Hollywoods. Which is not something that has been uttered by any heterosexual man in the history of civilization. Eventually, Jared did come out. Now he's happily out and he's, you know, like living his life. You know, new subject, back to Tallarico. This, speaking like this, when you started following me on Twitter, I couldn't contain my inner fanboy because I read your book last year and it continues to inspire me, and y'all's work continues to inspire me. I told you I was a boring, straight, cis white man. And I added Presbyterian to spice it up, Tallarico added. My imagination is also limited by my own background and identity. My whiteness, my masculinity, and those things limit my imagination about what's possible, he went on. And that's where your book helps me to do that. Henderson Espinosa, this is the queer theologian, a PhD scholar, uses he, they pronouns and self-describes as mestizahi, mixed race, autistic, non-binary, transgender, and Latinx.
I don't want to split hairs here, but if your imagination is limited to what you are, that is not imagination at all.
No.
Like, there's no part of that is imagination. Like, what do you, my imagination is limited to what I am. That's not at all imagination.
No, but it's a way to massively try to compensate for being totally uninteresting. Oh, you think I'm dull and a pseudo-intellectual? Well, I'm queer, non-binary, theologian, cis, boring, spicy. Ha-ha. And then we're supposed to be so, like, excited, like, thrilled about this. You know, it's not interesting. People used to do it a lot of times. I remember being in my 20s and just, like, having a lot of people say, yeah, on one side we have some Apache. Get over yourself. Like, you don't have Apache. You think you're cool because the spirit thing is happening and you're not afraid of heights and inside you is a hidden warrior. It's like, just be boring. Be you, okay? But it's this overcompensation thing. But you're right. By using these characteristics, that it makes me who I am because I'm a cis white male. Like, my straightness in my whiteness and my maleness, I guess male does bring you some experiences. It doesn't mean anything. First of all, if you grew up in America, you've won the world lottery regardless. So you're simply not that interesting. You're a spoiled American kid if you're an American. Sorry about that. It's the greatest country on earth and I love it, but you're a spoiled American kid. Stick with us. It's the Howie Carr Show.